Welcome congregation and visitors into the courts of the Lord. How good it is to gather and worship our great God and Savior. Let's seek His blessing in a moment of silent prayer, and then we'll stand to sing from proposal number 8. Holy God, we praise Your name. Number 8, the 4 stanzas. Let's pray then for the Lord's blessing on our worship this afternoon.
Lord, I love the habitation of Your house. I love the place where Your glory dwells. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. Congregation, in whose name is Your help? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Receive the Lord's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalm 46, number 84, the first three stanzas, and then we'll confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. 84, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge and our strength. Let's confess together the triune name of our God, this God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll use the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 4 in the back of your Psalter hymnals. And then let's conclude our praise by singing 4 and 5 of number 84. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom do you believe? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's praise the Lord by reading together Psalm 13, a prayer of God longing for God to return unto us. Psalm 13, praise Him together by reading this Psalm of longing. Psalm 13, for the director of music, a Psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And so let's seek the Lord's face and his blessing upon our lives in our time of prayer. I want to request your continued prayers for our sister Jane Vanderhyde. She's still in critical care at Victoria Hospital in London. Her condition has improved. The bleeding has slowed almost to a stop. We're thankful for that. And now the doctors are waiting to do a procedure where they will clamp the vein that is losing blood. And hopefully that can be done soon. So let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. We praise you, O God, our Father, Creator and Savior, the one who made us. The one who loved us so much that when we fell into sin, you sent your Son to redeem us from our sin. You sent the Redeemer. We praise you, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. You are our righteousness. With your blood, you purchased us for God with your death on the cross. With your Spirit, you fill us with your presence and you make us God's holy temple. And so we praise you, Holy Spirit, for the gift of newness of life, the gift of holiness, writing down God's law upon our hearts and in our minds, and forming the character of Christ within us, for your constant presence in us, warring within us against the powers of sin and enabling us to fight the good fight of faith. We praise you, our triune God. We praise you that though the world is against us, the world rages against us, yet the Lord of hosts is with us. You are our rock of safety. You are our eternal refuge. You are the reason the church exists today and will exist to the ends of the earth, and that the nations are being gathered into the body of Christ. We praise you. We praise you for the church in our culture, so weak in the face of that oppressive and aggressive bully of secularism. Strengthen us by your word and spirit. Take away our fear of man. Take away our love of this world. Give to us instead a faith-filled focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal riches and pleasures that we have in him. And that though we lose our lives, yet we gain them. Give to us instead of the fear of man, the fear of God, that we may stand firm. Grant that we may live a life of loving boldness in the midst of a perverse and crooked world. Help us to reach out. Help us to love those who hate us and use us for your glory and the advance of your kingdom. And in our lives, Lord, replace the fear of persecution with joyful sacrifice for the sake of Christ our Savior. We commit our lives to you. Because you are the Savior. You are our all in all. And we pray that you will use us also in the work of missions for the advancement of your kingdom. Bless the work of the New Horizon Church. Bless Reverend Persaud and those who work with him. We pray that the ministry of the gospel there may continue to bring many to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to build up the saints in that congregation. Bless the ongoing work of the Hope Center. Equip Reverend Zechfeld daily with strength for his work. And use your word also to draw many into a saving relationship with God through the Son. We pray for Hope Academy We ask that you will continue to provide the resources that are needed for the mission school, and that you will equip the staff and strengthen them during the summer break, prepare them for the upcoming education season. Father, we ask that you will grant a blessing to the ministry at Brookside this week, that the witness of your word there will be an encouragement to many. We pray that you will grant us all blessings in our work. Continue to provide rain and sunshine that we need. We depend entirely upon your mercies, which are new every morning for every need we have in life, for body and soul. Continue to grant us the employment that we need in order to serve you and to be able to provide for our families and our loved ones. Go with Jane Vanderhyde too, and with Frank, we pray, Father, that you will grant her healing. Renew her strength, Father, and we pray for a blessing upon the procedure. And we ask, Lord, that you will be near to her through this time. We thank you, Lord, that in Christ she may know too that she is safe and does not need to be afraid. What a blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask that you'll be near to our brother Ed DeGraff of the Reformed Youth Services. Strengthen him too, as he recovers from bypass surgery, Father, and has a long ways to go. We ask that you will equip him daily so that he may be able to take up his tasks again. We look to you for your help in all the needs of our lives. Also, Father, with those who have special needs, we ask that you will provide for them and their loved ones who care for them and look for opportunities for them. We thank you for Anchor Homes, those who dedicate their time for the care of those with special needs. And we pray, Father, that this may also be a witness to a world that really despises weak people or disabled people, and the strength, the special strength that they have to offer to us. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to show the way of love. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless us in every aspect of our callings. Help us to make the most of every moment this coming week, to be faithful witnesses of our God, our triune God. Give us strength to fight against all sin. Pull us back from any backsliding and waywardness in our lives, and use us for your glory. Continue to bless our elders and deacons in their tasks. Bless Mr. Fruchtenhill as well, and strengthen him for his work in our midst. We thank you, Father, for sending him to us, and we pray for a blessing upon him. Bless the ministry of your word this afternoon. We pray that you will show us your glory. We pray that you will use your word to embolden us for faithful service as ambassadors for Christ in the midst of our nation and world. Equip us, Lord. Build us up in our most holy faith by your word and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 7 is a prayer of persecuted believers to the living God to help them in their time of trouble. And so let's also pray this prayer together. Number 11, stanzas 1 and 2, 4 and 7 of Psalter Hymnal 11. 1 and 2, 4 and 7, we'll stand to sing. as we study the distinguishing marks of the true Christian using the Beatitudes. We come to the last Beatitude in Matthew 5. Blessed are the persecuted. Matthew 5, we'll read verses 1 through 16, found on page 1501 in your pew Bibles. Our text is verses 10 through 12 of Matthew 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he, Jesus, went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And again, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And may God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word this afternoon. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the last beatitude, the blessing, last blessing Jesus pronounced on his disciples, those who trust in him. And trusting in him, he comes to us and fills us with new character. Like, instead of being proud in spirit, being poor in spirit. Instead of laughing at sin and trivializing it, mourning over sin. Instead of pushing our way around to be first, being meek and giving honor to others and setting ourselves aside. But now we come to the eighth, the scariest one, in my way of thinking. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This too is one of the distinguishing marks of a true Christian. He, she is persecuted, is hated by the world. As Paul said to Timothy, all who live godly lives in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read about persecution, when I even think about it, it sends chills down my spine. I get scared. I don't like pain. I've told you that before. I don't like suffering. I want to run away from that. I worry about how I will handle the test in persecution. Will I stay true to Christ? Will I remain faithful? Or will I compromise in order to save my skin and save my job and save my money? But then I read what Jesus said about persecution. And he speaks about it as something that believers aren't afraid of at all. As something to rejoice in. As something filled with blessings. And that's what we want to see this afternoon. The blessings of persecution. May God give us grace to rethink persecution and to view it not as something scary and to run away from, but something to receive as the way of blessing for God's children. Our brothers and sisters around the world face heavy persecution. Opposition to the Christian faith increases in our own country. So important for us, congregation, to think about persecution in the right way, to have the right mindset, the perspective of faith in Christ, not in fear. Think about that. When you're a believer, when you have Christ, you have all riches, all joy, all fullness, all wealth forever. And so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And that's the perspective that drives the believer through persecution. Well, first of all, we see that persecution, Christian persecution, is all about offering ourselves up to a worthy cause. Notice what verse 10 says. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a worthy cause to give ourselves to be willing to suffer for and to be beaten up for righteousness' sake. And then he says it a different way in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So in verse 10, the worthy cause is righteousness, because of righteousness. And then in verse 11, the worthy cause is Christ, because of me, because of Jesus. And really the two are one, because Jesus is our righteousness. When we were unrighteous, lost in sin, under God's condemnation, He sent His Son to be our righteousness. And Jesus is our righteousness in a double way. First, Jesus is our new record. He died on the cross to cleanse us from all our sins. And in Him, God imputes perfect righteousness to us, so we stand righteous, guiltless, before God. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, we get more than a new record. There's that second gift of righteousness where Jesus fills us with His Holy Spirit and gives us a new character of upright living. That new character described in all the Beatitudes: poor in spirit, mourning over sin, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being peacemakers, being pure in heart. That's the worthy cause, which should make every believer rejoice and view persecution as a blessing, or the way that God fills our lives with blessing, because we're offering our lives to a cause that's bigger than ourselves and bigger than this world. Righteousness, Jesus, or righteousness in Jesus. Jesus, who is our righteousness. And really, brothers and sisters, the eighth beatitude, blessed are those who are persecuted. The eighth beatitude is really a result of the first seven, isn't it? In fact, you notice in the beatitudes that really there's a circle happening from 1 through 8. And by the time we get to the eighth beatitude, we're back up to the first one. Because the blessing in the first beatitude, verse 3, and the last one, the blessing is the same. Notice the first one in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then you go through all the other blessings and you get to the eighth beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, or because of righteousness. Same blessing, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It completes the circle. And the idea is that we end where we began. That really the last beatitude is the result of the first seven. That the reason that we're persecuted is because of the righteousness that Jesus is planting in us and forming out of us in the first seven. So again, when you go through those seven beatitudes, which are so otherworldly, so different from the way the world lives and the world thinks, blessed are the poor in spirit. Once we were proud in spirit, thinking much of ourselves, putting ourselves at the center, and Jesus gave us bankruptcy, where we realize we have nothing to contribute to our salvation, but only everything to receive from God, poor in spirit. And then those who mourn, that once we laughed about sin, could care less about it, covered it over, And now we confess it. We mourn over it. We hate it. We fight it. That too is the gift of righteousness that Jesus has given to us. And same with the gift of meekness. Once we were in pursuit of ourselves and said the way to get ahead is climb up on the backs of others. And now we realize that the way up is the way down. Becoming least. Serving others. That's what meekness is all about. Putting others ahead of ourselves. That too is totally contrary to the world. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Belonging to Jesus has given us a totally new goal. Totally new dream for life. Instead of becoming a billionaire as my dream. Or having all the toys that money can buy. And having worldwide fame. And instead now my heart is set on righteousness. I have an appetite for righteousness more than anything else. That's what Jesus has given to me. Totally different than this world. And merciful. Where we used to be callous and insensitive toward the needy. Jesus gives to the true disciple, remember, a heart for the needy, for the weak. A mind that thinks creatively of how to help them. Eyes that are open to seeing needs. And hands that reach out to help. And blessed are the pure in heart. Remember, that's the single-hearted person. Instead of Mr. Facing Both Ways, where we live one way on Sunday for God. And live for money the rest of the week. Or live for our own pleasure. Our whole life now, by the grace of Jesus Christ, is heading toward God. That's the pure in heart, not the perfect and the sinless, but the single-hearted. And blessed are the peacemakers, those who care much about people around them and in their own lives, having peace with God and having peace with our fellow man. And when we live that life of righteousness through Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness, then we're salt. And then we're light. But how the world hates that light and that salt. And Jesus said, you know, the more you look like me, the more the world's going to hate you like they hated me. Remember what Jesus said in John 15? Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus teaches his disciples not to be afraid of persecution and not to run away from it, but to expect it. Again, 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. All who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. To expect it, not to be surprised by it. That's what 1 Peter says. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Don't think it as something strange, but as something normal for the believer. They hated your master. They're going to hate you when you look like your master. And therefore we should prepare for it, says Paul in Ephesians 6. Take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. It doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that we should invite or ask for persecution in our lives of being ignorant or unwise or obnoxious. You know, there's no value or blessing in getting beat up because of your own folly, says Peter. Don't mistake persecution for punishment over being, well, ignorant at work. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 2 verse 20. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? No, if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, that's a gracious thing in the sight of God. There's no value or blessing in sinning and getting beaten for it. Don't call that persecution. So you work in a factory filling toothpaste tubes with toothpaste. And you decide, I'm going to behave like a Christian. And instead of filling my toothpaste tubes with toothpaste, I'm going to walk down the line and evangelize about Jesus Christ to all the other workers of the line. And the boss comes along and fires you. Well, don't call that persecution. You got what you deserved. You weren't doing your work. Honor Christ by doing a good job. When we serve Christ and show the character of Christ, and because of our righteousness, not unrighteousness, and because of Jesus, we get mistreated. We get unjustly dealt with. We get bullied. We get insulted. Then realize it's for a worthy cause. It's a great and glorious thing. It's for Jesus and his righteousness. It's not something frightening to flee from, to avoid at all costs. But it's a great blessing to be accepted joyfully. And that's the way we should view persecution, even though that's naturally so far away from us. Well, we see that secondly, that Jesus called us to see this as a joyful privilege, persecution. Notice what he says there in the Beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then he adds, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. That just sounds over the top. Isn't that too much? Literally, be happy and jump for joy. And that's the right reaction to getting bullied for Christ's name, being persecuted for Jesus' sake. That's the right reaction. Be happy and jump for joy. I'll tell you, that's not my natural reaction. My first reaction is fear. Maybe I should tone down my convictions so we can just all get along and I don't upset other people and I won't get hurt and I won't lose my job and I won't lose a friend and so on. That's my first reaction. My second is to whine and complain. My rights are being violated. I'm not being treated fairly. No, don't whine and complain. Rejoice and be glad. Now, that doesn't mean that we readily give away our civil liberties. I'm thankful for human rights lawyers who are hard at work pursuing justice. And Jesus is not saying, forget about justice. Just be happy. He's not saying that at all. But he's saying, even while we are concerned for justice and liberty, when that doesn't happen, when things aren't in the right spot in terms of rights, rejoice and be glad. Why? Well, Jesus gives us three reasons here why we should react or respond to persecution with joy and gladness. The first one is, as we already noted, because it's for a great and glorious cause. Rejoice and be glad that you can get hurt because of righteousness, because of Jesus. That's a great cause. You're suffering. You're getting beaten up. You're getting fired. It's for Him. It's for His glory, for His kingdom. And there's no higher honor than to represent such a cause when you suffer. There's no honor in suffering for your own foolishness. But there's great honor in suffering for Christ. You know this passage, I'm sure, from Acts 5. The apostles, after Jesus rises and ascends to heaven, they begin to preach salvation through Christ crucified and raised from the dead in Jerusalem. And the Sanhedrin, they arrest the apostles. They beat them with whips. The marks are all over their backs. And they threaten them. Don't speak again in Jesus' name. And they let them go. And you know how the apostles left the Sanhedrin, tail between their legs, so to speak, and said, that's not fair. We're not going to speak in Jesus' name ever again if that's what it's going to cost us. No way. We're quitting. You know that's not the case. This is what we read in Acts 5, verse 41. They left the Sanhedrin and rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of Jesus. Think about that. They rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for Jesus' sake. Wow. I got to suffer for Jesus. I feel blessed. Or Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and Spirit of God rests on you. Think of that. When the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory fills your life because you belong to Jesus Christ, and you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and your whole life is a shining advertisement of Christ, and then you start getting beat up and whipped because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, you're insulted for Christ's name, then rejoice because the Spirit of glory and Spirit of God rests upon you. A second reason to rejoice and be glad when we're persecuted. Notice what the Lord Jesus says there in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. There's a great prize at the end of the road of suffering. We don't earn that reward in heaven. Jesus earned that for us by his death on the cross. But he gives that through us, or to us, as we suffer and as we reach the end of our suffering. Hebrews says we need to suffer like Jesus when he went to the cross. It says there when Jesus, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. What enabled him, what encouraged him to endure the cross and despise its shame, its hellish agony, was the joy that would come to him on the other side, the great prize that was waiting for him. And the author to the Hebrews says, I want you to do the same. There's a great prize waiting for you to encourage you. And just remember that anything you lose here, your job, a friend, a promotion, even your health, your life, anything you lose here, Jesus has much more for you coming. So that really, we never make a sacrifice. Any loss we suffer is an investment in eternal treasures. Again, the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews commends the believers because for the sake of Christ, they were willing to lose their homes, their farms, their businesses. They're willing to lose their property. And how did they handle all that persecution? Listen to Hebrews 10, verse 34. The author says to the Hebrew believers, the believers there, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Did I read that right? You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better property waiting in the future for you, a better possession ahead of you. That's what enables the believer to have the perspective of accepting persecution with joy. Not saying, goody, I lost my house. Yay, I lost my job. But rejoicing, though I lost my job, Jesus has a far better promotion waiting for me. Praise God. That's the perspective of the Lord Jesus for his disciples. And he's saying to us, the clearer focus that you have on Christ in all your life, the less fear you will have of losing your job or getting beat up or being insulted. Peer pressure affects all of us. And the main reason for peer pressure or the fear of what other people will do to us or think of us is a lack of focus on what Christ is for us and what he has for us. And the more we focus on his glory that awaits us and the prize that he has for us, the inheritance that is waiting for us, the more ready we will be to let go of whatever we must in order to be faithful servants of Christ. So that when we have to let go of something, it's not a gamble, it's a guarantee. And the third reason we are to rejoice and be glad when we're persecuted is because we're in such good and respected company. Again, look at Matthew 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're in good company. You get to join Abel, killed by Cain. You get to stand in the line of Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. Those are the prophets that came before Jesus' first disciples. And then we have all the New Testament persecuted saints. And we have James, and we have John, and we have Paul, and we have Peter, and many others. And then in all through church history, the heroes and heroines of the Hall of Faith. Lord, am I so honored that I get to stand on the platform with all those spiritual medal holders? Yes. You get to stand in the company of the persecuted apostles and prophets and fathers and mothers of the faith who went before you and who will follow you. And the glorious thing is, brothers and sisters, when we take that stage as those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake It's not so we can have our day in the sun and say, wow, I'm great. Wasn't I tough? Man, I soldiered that well. No, when we're standing on the platform, Revelation 7 gets us a beautiful vision of this. Paul, John says, I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude nobody could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They're clothed in white robes. They've come out of the great tribulation. They've endured the persecution with palm branches in their hands. And here's what they're crying out with a loud voice. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Wow, we have the honor of joining the company of the prophets and apostles who go through the tribulations and they say, unto God Almighty sitting on the throne and the Lamb victorious, be the praise alone. God has wrought salvation. He did wondrous things. Who shall not extol thee, holy King of kings? Is that our perspective on persecution? Rejoice and be glad. Focus on Christ so that you can see how much He has for you. And then you won't worry so much about what you'll have to let go of for His name's sake. And then just briefly, the blessing of persecution is seen not only in its worthy cause and its joyful privilege, but thirdly, in the great reward that Jesus speaks of here. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's verse 10. The same as the first beatitude. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then verse 12. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. What blessing belongs to those who are willing to be hated and despised and insulted and bullied by the world? Even have their heads sawed off with a chainsaw. Or just lose their tax-exempt status as a church or a charity, because the government turns the screws so tight that it's either honor Christ and follow Him and lose your taxism status, or compromise and no longer be the salt and light of the world, or might have to lose our license to practice law or practice medicine or practice psychiatry or practice social work. We don't give that up readily and easily. But it's not only the off with the head with a chainsaw. There's a variety of types of persecution that we face even in our culture. And it's frightening. But it ought not to be. When we see the great and glorious reward that is ahead, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? It's God's entire estate. You get to have His riches, power, and glory. You get to have His paradise. You get to have it all. That's what it is to have the kingdom of heaven, to be an heir of God and co-heir with Christ, and to have that as your possession already now and in the life to come, the full enjoyment and experience of it. Even as the father said to the older son in the parable of the prodigal son, son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Yes, that's what it is. When Jesus says of you, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, all that is mine is yours. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I like to live the life of a comfortable conservative, where I can hold to my positions and convictions and yet not have to sacrifice anything for you. But we see that day is coming to a close, and we pray that you will help us to be willing to give up comforts for the sake of Christ, but give us that proper perspective that we're really not losing anything at all, but to serve you and honor you is really to gain everything and to lose nothing. Oh, give us that perspective of faith. Show us, Lord, that our life is not in ourselves, but it's in you. And then help us to go forward knowing that the persecuted are blessed, not cursed. Amen. Let's sing together. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. The four stanzas of 456. And our doxology is 469, By the Sea of Crystal, the three stanzas. Congregation, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Receive his parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.